The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, and I'm here with my co-host, Zeke Smith. Yes. And we are here with Houston, Texas' very own water boy, the man, the myth, the legend, Scott McAllister, the president of Coastal Ice and Water. Man, we are glad to have you today.
It's great to be here. We're good friends and top talent.
Yeah, man. Well, I can tell you this. If there's any guy with a more just kind, servant heart running around Houston, Texas, I don't think there's a better one than you, and it reflects in your team. So the people that are watching this right now that do know you or have been to an event and have seen your team, they know what I'm talking about. So, but before we dive into a little bit about what you guys do and kind of your experience and really your involvement here in the region, would love to hear a little bit about your story and just better understand your background.
Thank you for having us today. So I'm going to mention my wife as well, right?
Okay.
We're a woman-owned business. So we were both born and raised right here on the Ship Channel.
Okay.
And what a better place. I mean, you just can't have a better place to be, right, to try to have a nice family and start a business, grow a business, with the support of what is all here. I don't think anybody else in the world has the opportunities that we do. So we were very fortunate to get in the industry about 31, 32 years ago. And so that's taken us a long ways from where we started. And we're just very fortunate people that we have, you know, this type of alliance and other associations that help. But to have all of this footprint in about a 20-mile radius is just one of the best places you could ever be. And so that's allowed us to put, over a period of time, about 39 families to work. And the biggest part that we're proud of is we just hired our seventh second-generation employee.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, to have somebody that wants to go to work for where their parents are, it's a very proud moment. So you know, we hope we're doing everything right. We're trying to do everything right, build a culture, and take that and be with the clients as well. So we're a support mechanism for them.
That's fantastic, man. What an awesome story.
That's awesome.
It's not surprising, but it's awesome. So now we get used to seeing you guys out in events and stuff like that. So, you know,
can't miss them.
You got your water bottles on the table, right?
Yes.
This is your stuff, product plugs right here, right? That being said, you know, you guys are in a lot more things, right? It's not just about events and catering to that with water bottles. Tell us a little bit about really the core nature of your business and what you guys do.
Yeah, so the core of our business is basically around the petrochem industry. And
okay.
And then as the layers kind of trickle out from there, right? We're fortunate to do work with Zeke's company, Apache Industrial. And so it starts there, and then it's inside the fence line and outside the fence line. It goes to fab shops, other people that are doing work for the petrochem people, and then people that are doing work for those people.
That's right, you know, right.
The layers
ripple
just
effect.
Hit the ripple effect.
To use
just
the water analogies during the whole podcast.
Yeah,
ripple
right.
Effect, right?
Man, you're better at this than I was on that. But no, it's and so to give you an idea of how fortunate we are to be here, the ice manufacturer, we're just wholesalers for everything. We don't manufacture
right.
anything. So the ice plant itself works out of about a 200-mile radius. And of all that packaged ice delivered out there, we're about 20% of that. And 80% of my sales are about 20 miles from this building.
Oh, wow.
So that's the impact that
we're concentrating.
Yeah, and the same thing with the water people as well. And so our business is basically focused on, you know, how do we take care of people that are out in the heat? And, you know, safety really starts with the individual before he starts to perform his task. You know, there's all kinds of safety mechanisms to keep them safe. Fall protection, PPE, things like that. But you got to start with the individual first. And so ice and water are two main products, but then we ventured out into electrolytes and things like that.
Okay.
This comes from our engagement with the safety professionals inside the facilities and companies. We attend their safety meetings. We go walk the plant. You know, we're just not answering the phone, filling orders. We're out there finding out what challenges are they running into? How are they trying to better engage with not only their people on the property, but the contractors that are coming on the property.
So being a little bit more of a partner than just a vendor, right?
Exactly. And that's the whole takeaway is we didn't want to be a supplier or a vendor. We needed to be a partner that they could lean on, share their ideas or challenges with us, and we come back with solutions. And so most of our product new offerings come from what are we hearing from them? And so our last idea we've been working on is, you know, we're putting all this in their bodies, but how do we take care of their bodies when they're taking breaks? So we have developed a new, no one's seen it. It's a new cool down trailer. So when they do take their breaks, they're able to go in and take some of that fatigue away, you know, bring their temperature down a little bit. And it's more of a kind of a climate controlled area.
Right.
And so that's our new takeaway now is how do we keep developing something that keeps their workforce from just fading out throughout the day and then maybe hurting themselves or hurting somebody else if the fatigue's really set in. You know,
it's amazing because you don't think about it, right? But you think about all the different safety mechanisms that they have inside the plants, everything that's being done to keep that plant from blowing up or to keep from gas from leaking out. I mean, safety is probably one of the biggest things that we talk about on the show. We have so many different safety professionals come on, and I'll be very candid. I've taken that for granted when I've seen you, right? I see you at the gun shoots, I see you at the barbecues, I see you at the different events. So I'm thinking, hey man, this guy's just providing high quality H2O to all of us so we can, you know, stay warm or stay cool and have a good time. Never really thinking that you're actually out there with the safety managers thinking about how do I keep that guy safe? How do I keep him engaged? How do I keep him from getting exhausted? How do I keep him from fading fast out there? Because he's been out there working in 110 degree heat that most of us aren't going to try to step out to, but the work doesn't stop in 110. It's just 100 degrees or 120% humidity. It doesn't stop. It just gets hotter.
It does. Right? And so
any guys like you stepping in to make that happen.
Well, I appreciate that. And so it's really came from as our engagement was with the safety people on site, right? And so they started talking about, hey, we have to do this every month and we need new substance, you know, to talk about. So we created a small 10 to 15 minute interaction where we come out with a hydration meter. We talk about, it's not a sales pitch. It's about protecting your people. What products, you know, put in them, how that keeps them from getting sick or heat stress. And so we would come out and talk about hydration, what it looks like in January versus July. And so we have an interaction with some of their people. We ask them to get up and we test them. You'd be surprised how many people are moderately dehydrated in January in a climate controlled room,
right?
In a conference room. And that starts to bring awareness to like, whoa, what, you know, we may be missing something here. And so that now has turned into, they came back and said, we love that. We need more. And so we're really developing a full-blown presentation, and we've been asked by three customers lately to come out and do that. It's about a 30-minute deal. And we've been asked by Chamber of Commerce to come out and talk about it in one of their industrial forums.
Wow.
And so it's just about us trying to, you know, make everyone aware of what's going on.
Sure.
You know, we are the largest ice and water supplier in the area for industrial and commercial usage. But, you know, we constantly look at what is our role. You know, we have the products, and so that's why we call ourselves, you know, the complete hydration solution. But what we've really realized is, you know, hydration is the service we're providing, but we've really become a safety company in a sense that that's what we're really taking care of and helping people with is how do you keep your people safe.
Sounds like you're a safety innovation company almost, right?
We're so, trying, you know.
Right? You don't think that ice and water is some of the most, you know, primal things we have on earth, but, you know, innovation in that space is important. And certainly you said commercial, which, you know, triggered me a little bit to say a lot of the OSHA requirements that were inside the fence for industrial now expanding to standard commercial jobs, right? With brakes and hydration and the cooling stations and the vests and different things that like the Dows and Exxons have been doing for 10, 15 years, right? So interesting opportunity for traditional industrial partners to expand their business into the more commercial world, right? Which, and look, I just think it's so cool to talk, you know, you think construction, a bunch of knuckle dragging, you know, contractors and a water vendor. And like, look at what we're doing. Look at the innovation that is in this 20 mile radius that you referenced earlier and how much new, innovative, creative, you know, thinking. It's just to keep a guy or girl safe on a job site, you know, in Houston in the summer. It's wild to me.
And I think you're really seeing a change where people were not just taking care of their own. You know, so if, let's say you have a job in Dow. Dow was typically taking care of their people, although they're responsible for the contractor's actions inside. There seems to be a greater partnership now that everyone's looking after a whole. Some of the safety meetings we're going to, you have to participate. Any contractor on the site has to be there. And so they will talk about the engagement. And so now you're looking at a much more awareness that you're not just looking for your people's safety, right? You're looking for everyone's safety on that property. And I'm seeing a very, very big shift in that. Well, I'm seeing it because I'm just now getting to get there and participating in this. This has probably been going on for some time, but it seemed like everyone's looking after each other now.
More collaborative. And it's even happening within competitive contractors, right? So there's another scaffolding contractor on site. They're working more collaboratively around safety instead of that's my rival or my, you know, my competitor. It's like safety keeps us all safe, keeps us all here working because there's enough work for both of us here.
Yep. Kind
of thing, right? Which is great.
Yes.
Well, for me, you're obviously, you said some statistics. You're obviously a very successful company in this region and beyond. And I just am so curious what drives you and your wife as owners of this company to keep giving back to the community. Because like Jason mentioned, you're at every event. You got the biggest tent. Everybody's going there to see Scott and team and have a good time at these events. That's what we go there to do, right? We talk to other folks about networking. We do that. Economic Alliance events, ABC events, Safety Council events. So you're successful. It doesn't seem like you need to do that necessarily. So what drives you and your wife to just continue to give back to industry and community so much? What's driving that?
It's because people gave us an opportunity. You know, we grew up very modest, and people looked at us and gave us an opportunity to be involved. And I think it's the same thing. It's giving back. It's, you know, it's giving people opportunities and keeping that motivation going for someone that might not think they have the best chance to change their life.
Sure.
If we can do anything to help those folks and just to say a thank you for the people that took care of us, you know, often you wonder, do I deserve this? You know, I mean, was I deserving for the opportunity and someone else was not? And so I think if you recognize that, then it's going to motivate you to continue to look after others. Mm-hmm. And so we look at everything. A lot of this stuff is local charity stuff we do. And a lot of our charitable work comes from our customers. You know, whatever important to them, but it's important to us, you know. They're supporting us. We're supporting them back.
That's right.
And then once we participate in some of that, some of the charities come back to us and go, well, you did this for us when we were with Exxon, and now we would like to do this with someone else. What started out to be just really give backs to the companies themselves became more charitable stuff, and it just kind of kept trickling up, actually. And so we're probably doing 3 or 4 charitable things a week. A lot of this comes from Chamber of Commerce. It comes from local events. Sylvan Beach, for example, LaPorte, we're taking care of that entire weekend for them. And so it's giving back these people that are giving us opportunities to live and work in these communities.
Absolutely.
And so what we're doing is supporting those communities back in any effort we can. Some of it's baseball, Little League, it's FFA, it's what's local. And then we also do some stuff too, like for Camp Hope, veterans, things like that. Anything that has to do with veterans, police officers, and children, we're going to try to be a big part of that. And it's just saying thank you for, you know, allowing us to be part of that community and having a business there and trying to find any way that we can to give back. And it's simple things, but we hope that helps.
You think it's simple, right? You think it'd be simple. Great job. And by the way, great job on using another water analogy, trickle. So we've got yeah. ripple and trickle so far. So we're on a roll today. So
it's like it's ingrained in his.
As it should be.
He can't help it.
I can't help it.
Yep. No, it's really starting to pay off, man. I appreciate it. So I love it. Quick question, or not really a quick question, but more of a dive in. I know you've been involved in a lot of events, and over the last year, you got involved with the GCIF 2021. There was a shift around sustainability, not really a shift, but it was kind of a focus. I remember seeing your setup there. It was real cool.
Yes.
And then you said that kind of have an impact. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, sir. So a few years back, you know, as sustainability has become a hot topic, we've had some customers come to us and say, look, you're a very large bottled water provider to our facility. How do we begin to pull back on plastic and cut that landfill footprint down? So we did partner with a company. It was not really made for refineries, but we tweaked it. And so we could purify water on site, and then it would go around into like a distribution kiosk. It was just refrigerated water, it's bottled water quality. And so that was our first take about how are we gonna get some plastic bottles off. It doesn't take every plastic bottle off because of the footprint of the refinery itself and what people are at.
Sure.
So thank you to Chad and the Economic Alliance for bringing in great speakers. So president of CEO Chevron Phillips shows up and he talks about what advanced recycling looks like in the plastic market. And that caught my eye really quickly. And he's talking about taking that and turning it back into a liquid feedstock. And then, you know, you're continuing to make products. So it's a sustainable circular economy that supports itself. I grasped on that really quickly because I'm like, some customers don't want to change their entire way of doing business, but this is a way we can start to eliminate some plastic hitting the landfills. So I reached out actually to Ron Abbott, which is the sustainable manager for Chevron Phillips, said, I need to know everything you know about liquid feedstock immediately. And he's very, very generous with his time. He came back and said, this is the articles, call me, read it. If you have questions, we went back and spoke a few more times. And it just, it was a really cool idea, and they made it happen. And so our goal is now is we're a big provider of bottles going in. And so now we came up with a partnership that we can extract those bottles and take those bottles and sell them off to people that are looking for it. I'll use the example, Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Their consumers are driving sustainable.
Right.
You know, we want sustainable products. So they're looking for this exact PET plastic.
Wow.
So we provide that to them. They're paying above market price on this. And all proceeds that we can take out of that, we're giving back to the youth trying to get into the industry.
Oh my gosh, wow.
We started talking about, you know, scholarships, education, how do we get them to school? And we found out really there's a lot of support there. But where they were failing on support, not the people providing it, right, is there's a lot of children or youth that are taking these classes, but when they're finished, they're needing a TWIT card, you know, PPE, tools, steel-toed boots. You know, they might not have the funds to get ready for the first day of employment. And so we've learned that through some other associations said, you know, we've got a kid prepared, but he needs $1,000 worth of stuff to go in. Mm. And so that was our goal. We shifted a little bit and said, well, how do we help them? And it's so we're going to take these funds, and when we find people are needing help through associations, we're like, you know, we'll pick that TWIT card up. We'll buy steel tube, an FR, whatever he needs sure. to be prepared to go in for the first day. And so we're looking for more and more partners to, you know, to allow this to take place. And I tell everybody, I mean, just through our daily practices of what we, you know, do in commerce, right? You know, if we can take that and get proceeds out of that to help the youth, you know, get started, I mean, I think that's how communities are built, and that's what we're looking to do.
I mean, talking my language, and just personal yeah. note, let's talk after, because we have an apprentice program, and we go through the exact same thing. We got a kid, student, first job out of sometimes high school or unemployed, and we put him through this training, and he's got to go out to a site right away and doesn't have the, I mean, we provide some of it, but that gets expensive for, you know,
yes.
10, 12, 25 apprentices. So I think we should talk further on that. I'm very intrigued. So.
Appreciate that. And, yeah. and so we're looking for more and more partners to help us engage with this so we can continue to help more and more people. So
I love it. Scott, I'm so glad because we've been trying to wrestle you to get you in front of this audience or in front of our audience for a long time. And I think a lot of times we take for granted. I've known you to be a great guy. I've known you to be a phenomenal servant inside of the organization that we have been a part of. But I had no idea you were doing all this behind the scenes in our community and really to serve the industry. We're talking about workforce development, we're talking about safety, we're talking about service and community. I mean, the entire summarization of what this organization is about is being embodied through you and your company. I mean, that's fantastic. You're like the mattress pack.
You've got to spend the last couple minutes here on what the hell Scott does for fun. Like,
yeah. yeah, like, yeah. What do you do?
Right, research. yeah, research. Not we don't have many hobbies, but, you know, work really is our hobby. When you really like what you do, I mean, you're entrenched in it full time. And, you know, that's what we love to do. And if you can find ways to serve others in, you know, in doing what you love to do, what else do you need to do? You know, I've got all the hobbies I need right here.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up, but I do want to say that, again, you've kind of opened up so much to what this is about when we come out to serve every day and we come out inside this region. The Economic Alliance, Houston-Port region, really is designed to be a platform for business owners like you to have that start and then to kind of spread out. But it's almost like a life cycle. You don't just come in and do business here. You come in, you serve. You get business, then you do more business, then you serve more, and you get more. I mean, we've just heard the whole story really laid out in front of us. This is how you do it. We've had Greg Miller on the show. We've had you on the show. And there's just these living, breathing examples of how you do it right. And it doesn't just work in this alliance. That's just business. That's just how you. That's just straight up good old fashioned core values and making it happen. And you're doing just that. I mean, it's unbelievable to see it. And before we get ready to wrap up the show, is there anything that you'd like to capture or anything that you want to make sure you communicate to our audience or to anybody else out there before we get done today?
Well, I think the main thing is, support the Economic Alliance, right? I mean, this is where all the information comes that we can all share to learn what we need to do with our businesses and how we interact with those communities, how we interact with our customer base, right? And I don't think there's a much better place and you can learn how to do that than right here. We've taken away so much from this organization. It's incredible. And I encourage anyone that's out there that's not a member to be a part of it. Even if you're a citizen, they create quality of life here. They're letting you know what's going on. I always tell everybody really quickly that how many people watch the news at night for the weather just to learn how to dress and your activities for the next day.
Sure.
You come to the Economic Alliance, you're seeing a forecast for a year or two or 3 years out.
Right.
And if you can participate in that, it's going to really help you understand what you need to do with your business to prepare for a better opportunity to have some commerce with everyone that's involved. And if you're fortunate enough to do that, then give back to them in some way that you can. Help your neighbors in times of tragedy and things like that. For example, you mentioned Mattress Mac. We gave him a couple trailer loads of ice and water when hurricanes hit Louisiana. And, he called, he said, what do we owe you? And we said, nothing. I said, I've seen the faces of people in the hurricanes. I've had to work a lot of them. You've always done so many things with the community. This is one way can we help you back. And so I think that's the whole takeaway is, we all appreciate business, but I think we all are better off when we try to be a partner to someone.
Hmm.
That's our goal.
Well, sage advice right there.
Absolutely.
Take it, stamp it.
Tons of takeaways from this one today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know you don't have a lot of hobbies, but if you ever make politics your hobby, I think you'd be pretty good at it. So I think we'd all sign up for that one. So
I don't know if his wife's gonna say.
Yeah, she'd probably say no dice.
No dice. Stick to what you know.
Stick to what you know.
That's a tough part.
Well, I'm just saying we could use a guy like you because everything you do from your sound business advice to how to operate with the right heart is great sign of character. We're glad to have you today. So, and again. We want to thank you for being on the show today. As always, thanks to my co-host, Zeke Smith.
Yeah.
You can reach out to either one of us on LinkedIn if you want to give us feedback or recommendations for guests. Scott, what's the easiest way for people to contact you?
Just, realistically, everything is on our website, but just, call us.
Okay.
281-812-1067. Reach out. I have a fantastic sales girl. We answer the phones. You don't dial 1-800-GET-LOST.
Yeah.
It's all about the personal interaction.
Sure.
So, a lot of people do reach us by the website, but we tell everybody, give us a call. We really want to hear what your needs are quickly and we'll address them. We don't want you to feel like you're going through some kind of automated system and no one's taking care of you. I think we've really lost our personal touch in customer service by a lot of the larger companies moving that direction. And so we actually do the opposite of that, We want to talk to you and we want to answer and make sure you're comfortable with everything before you move forward.
Oh, fantastic. Right? Again, great, great sage advice. We could have about four episodes just on Scott's wisdom.
That's right.
I love it. And for the rest of our audience, as always, again, Coastal Ice and Water, Scott McAllister, the president of that organization. If you need water or ice or any of those services, these are your guys. We would also highly encourage you to reach out and connect with them. And then also, if you want to stay plugged into the show, you can always go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, go to the media tab, and then from there, you can subscribe to all of our channels. Again, a lot of people tune into us via YouTube, but there's also a great ways to get plugged into any of your favorite places, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're going to download your favorite podcast. We're there under the Gulf Coast Grow Show, so look for us there. And make sure you tune in. And the best way to give back to us is to pay this forward by putting it in front of somebody who needs to hear it and hear the story of our great region. So we look forward to seeing you guys next week. And thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. And be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.